Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast, presented by Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Riva GPS, and Supernova. I'm Jenny Tuff, and I'm your host for the Transcontinental Race number 11.
If you had to describe TCR in one word, what would it be?
Tough.
Intense.
It's sweet. Because of all the stupid thing that you eat. Toothless.
Fiebertraum.
I'm going to need a translation here.
It's like fever dream, but in the most warm and nice and loving way.
Survival.
Headwind.
Hard.
Tough.
Intense.
Journey.
Impossible. Stupid.
It's day 17, and it's a busy day at the finish line. Riders who came to the TCR with a plan to ride their distance and manage fatigue in order to finish within GC are now reaping the rewards of their hard work and riding into the Zoom Beach Bar to get their final stamp and well-deserved cold drink. As always, our race reporters Sophie and Jake are there to welcome them in and hear about their rides. Here's Cap 368, Lisa Nemitz.
This was a fun little finish.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thanks, Jake.
Great ride.
You look clean, huh?
Probably all those puddles on the way in.
How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad. Yesterday I was really just looking forward to being here, and then today I quite enjoyed it. It was like a short day as well, so it was nice to finish on a like half day kind of.
Yeah.
I've got a few friends who are still out there, so I'm like really looking forward to like checking where they are and how they're doing and stuff.
Is there a message you want to give them?
Yes. Just keep pushing, and it's definitely worth keep going on. I have a friend who just got to Albania today, Nadine, so she's riding outside of GC, but she's so strong, and like she was my inspiration for signing up for my first TCR because she did it the year before, and so having been able to do it with her, like sort of riding alongside her this TCR, has been so nice, and I'm so glad that she's still going, and I hope to get to see her when she gets here. And so it's nice to hang out at the finish line. It's like one of my favorite parts of the of these races, so yeah, I'm sure I'll be.
Yeah, because why is that?
Oh, it's just nice to see others come in and sort of feel clean and see others sort of be all gross and tired. And
do you find life simpler on the bike than?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because you only think about like moving forward and then like one thing at a time. It's like either you think about getting food or about where you're going to sleep or about like how far you're going to go that day, but you don't think about, like, I don't know, your taxes or stuff like that.
So life is good on the bike?
Yes, definitely, yeah. I'm going to miss it, but I'm also going to enjoy not riding for a bit.
In Cap 132, Martin Zettel.
I took my time for the last stretch. I didn't hurry like the others. Because I was behind, I saw that it's not possible to get a better place. So I slept about 50 kilometers from here. Yeah.
How are you?
Fine. The back hurts now, really. I was happy to buy Shamo cream in Italy. I have that two small packets. I lost one, I don't know where. But it was really beautiful. Also the difference with the different landscapes. Like Pico Stella Europe, I wanted to go once there. I wanted to do once the Tourmalet. So I have seen it. The Strada Sieta, I wanted also to do once. Now it's also done, yeah. And then also Albania is for me, I now the third time there.
Okay, did you are you happy, are you proud to be here? I mean, yeah. you it wasn't your first race if you've done the Acures before, so did you know you were capable of doing it before?
Yeah, I calculated that it could be one day earlier or one day later, so I'm just in the middle.
Did you cry or laugh like really strongly at some point?
Yeah, I was the tears coming when I saw the Black Sea to arrive, really, and or to be able to catch the ferry from Bari. There I decided not to take the night ferry, the day ferry, so the day before was, I think, 370 kilometers until 2 o'clock and then 3 hours sleep and then again to the ferry. But this was very good because the ascent into the mountains there was much easier by day. And all, so I know all which were able, were on the night ferry behind, they will come now. So I had like a spacer. Mm. Yeah.
The Paris Cap 398, Simon and Julien, but known to us as the Beavers, didn't have the race they planned, but arrived grateful and proud of their achievement as a team.
Are you going to book the same hotel tonight?
Yeah, of course. We had like a different cabin because I made a mistake. I booked the ferry on like a shaky road, and I booked two cabins for two people. So we were separate, and it was a bit strange.
You missed him.
So almost. But yeah, I was talking with Sophie, saying like how difficult it was sometimes to be two on such a big race.
Yeah,
it's double trouble.
Double trouble, yeah, all the time, yeah.
We really had to discuss at some point that, and to leave what we had in mind behind, which is racing and try to get the better spot possible for the best spots possible for the pair racing. And once we were able to do this, then we started to enjoy again. But yeah, it took a good 36 hours to accept the fact that we won't be able to go as fast as we wanted to. But yeah, very proud that we found the solution too. Very, very thankful for having Simon on my side, because he's been really, really helpful with my injury. And yeah, proud to have taken the bikes until Constanta. So very proud of it. Yeah. Crimea Beaver, yeah, that was the situation when I had to accept that we wouldn't be racing anymore.
I think the odd part on this one is the. Being two, you will always be slow at some point of the race. You'll be the slower, and you will be not comfortable with it. It's not a great situation to be behind and to feel like you are slowing down your body. But in the same way, you just have to put yourself in the other situation to understand that this is one person with four wheels and four legs, or in our case, three, going in the same direction. So it was like, yeah, just a mental game actually. So, but it never challenged the friendship or anything, because we are too close now to, yeah. So yeah, we had some cries, we had some stuff like this, but both crying, yeah. And
but we're injured,
yeah. But nothing new for us, and in this type of game, this is the things I'm the most proud of, I think. Is getting there after like 16 days. Like, I think we spent like maybe 20 minutes away from each other. And
just the ferry.
Yeah, just the ferry. Yeah,
like a separate cabin. That's it.
Yeah, that's why I'm proud.
That's a strong friendship, I think.
Yeah, now we are.
Yes, it was already okay.
Yeah, it was kind of waterproof, but now it's definitely
stormproof now. Yeah.
And who arrived first?
Yeah, me.
It's me. I think he took a wrong turn before arriving, motherfucker.
Cap 139, Naomi Medderley.
How do you feel?
Just very happy to be here, and that it was a really wild but really nice ride.
Yeah. Really wild? Wild in what way?
Yeah, I mean, it's just riding your bike all the time. It's like, and I love riding my bicycle. I don't know, it's like being high 17 days.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was wild.
Are you proud of yourself?
I wasn't sure I can do it. I'm proud that I made it, but yeah, I wasn't sure if I can do it. No.
If you had to say something to your body.
I'm a little bit sorry. I'm gonna eat better soon. Wow, it was disgusting what I ate.
Yeah? What was the most disgusting thing you eat?
I ate so many, you know, this croissant, but in the plastic bag.
Eesh, yeah. Breaking my heart here.
Yes, I'm not French, but like, no, I can't. But I didn't have the brain to think of something else.
Is there something you're going to remember from the race and apply it to your daily life?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people have said already, it's a lot about how you handle yourself and manage yourself. And yeah, I've learned again that you have no control over nothing. You don't know if there is a friendly dog sitting behind the next corner, or if the wind is gonna come tail or headwind. And like, the only power you have, it's the power you have over your emotions about it, or how you handle the situation. And I mean, I knew this was, but like, yeah, that was again
a nice reminder. Did you laugh at something at some point?
at myself, I think. Because what I was saying about the wind, I was so miserable and I was very angry. Wind can makes me very angry. I think I take it very personally, very stupid.
As if the wind was only for you.
And at some point I was like laughing about myself because I realized like I'm making my own life very miserable and it's so stupid. But I just can't handle wind, I don't know.
Thank you very much. Well done, huh?
Ricardo Del Rey, Cap 286, who rode this year to raise money to help his friend get a hand cycle.
So how many kilometers you've done, and because explain us again what's your strategy.
Yeah, my strategy, my abstract when I decided to try the transcontinental race, it was to raise €1 for each kilometer I will have to ride during this race for to help a friend. And so at the end I rode just 4,950 kilometers, and I'm a little bit sad because I was wondering for 5,000, but yeah.
Have you managed to have €1 for every kilometers to buy the hand bike?
Yeah, I'm crawling because yesterday night my girlfriend started writing me messages on WhatsApp, and she was saying it's incredible because the crowdfunding is growing, and it's the same kilometers you are doing is the same that the money that you are getting, and yeah, at the end it's the same result, a few euros more.
Oh,
so, yeah, yeah, I'm very happy. And yesterday night at 1 a.m. I phoned with Eduardo and he was really happy about it. Yeah, also because yesterday he started the lessons to start driving again. Mm-hmm. The crowdfunding was to help him because his life right now is totally transformed by after the crash. Yeah, many changes and lots of money to spend to transform his life. So yeah, a big part will help him to get the hand bike and we will start having sport together, but all the rest he really need to
make the adjustments
to begin a new life.
If you had an advice to give to someone that is scared to sign up because he's inexperienced, what would be the advice you could give?
Ooh, I think you must try to plan everything before the start, and then when you start riding you must forget your plans, try to transform it every day, because if you have a plan you start with something in your head that helps you to think about the future, and you think I'm ready to do this, but every day it's something unexpected, and so you have to be flexible and make a good plan and then forget it and enjoy the race.
But don't be scared to sign up.
No.
And Ross Gray, Cap 291, got burned by Balkan diplomacy but found a way to keep his head up and make his way out of Kosovo towards the finish.
So one thing that intrigued a lot of dot watchers was following you across the Balkans, particularly Kosovo.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what happened there?
I had a route which kind of cut out quite a lot of mileage, and I thought, oh, I could get through there too, but going through the border, I didn't get a stamp to kind of get through the other side, so he kind of gave me back my passport with nothing on it.
So that was when you entered Kosovo?
That's when I entered Kosovo, and I didn't really check, it was my own fault. And then, obviously, kind of sogged through Kosovo to the other end, met with a strict no, go back.
Did you try and persuade them?
Well, I just showed him a bit of my leg, but he didn't have none of that. So, he just didn't like me. So. I came back at warp speed, obviously full of adrenaline.
So just to be clear, when you entered Kosovo, you didn't get a stamp. You cycled across Kosovo to the Serbian border. Yeah. You tried leaving. They wouldn't let you leave.
Yeah.
So what did you have to do?
I then had to cycle back to North Macedonia and over the border there, which I looked like a stamp collector at that point. I was like, you stamp it, please. I know it wasn't necessary. I got two stamps from the same guy. I was just like, stamp it again. So, lots of stamps now. Not the one that I needed in the right place, though. So,
do you know how many extra kilometres you did?
I mean, I lost a good day from that mistake. So, probably 170, maybe.
170k in a full day.
I reckon so.
And what was the key to not dwelling on that and just carrying on?
I think kind of just the idea that it's all part of the adventure when I look back at it. And I was never going to win the race. And I was pushing all the way through to try and race all the way through Italy. I felt that all come undone at that point. And I was absolutely devastated, and it kind of crushed me a little bit. And I was making up kind of like, if I just power nap it, just keep power napping it all the way to the finish, I could probably make up my time. But I burnt so many matches trying to come back over those mountains to get back in line that it just kind of just like beat me down a little bit too much. So, not a big fan of that border crossing anymore.
All right, thanks, Ross.
Surviving disasters of his own making, Cap 57, John Pears.
Whoa.
16 days, 18 hours and 36 minutes. No way.
No way.
No fucking way. Don't remember any of it. It's all a blur.
It's flame. Flame.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I have
now, for anyone wondering, John gained some notoriety within the field earlier in the race when, in a sort of befuddled state one morning or late one night, he, in the dark, reached for his eye drops, which just so happened to be in exactly the same shaped bottle as his chain lube. So there were plenty of good quips coming off the back of that. Not a dry eye in the house was a particular favourite, but John has been christened the visionary bike mechanic ever since by Jamie Oliver, one of the volunteers. John was explaining to us when he arrived at the finish line that his morning had been rather deflating. He'd been suffering with punctures throughout and had eventually run out of super glue, which was his sort of tried and tested method of repair. He did say that he then found some super glue in a petrol station, but that in the process of application, he'd managed to also add a veneer of the stuff to his teeth. So chain lube in the eye, super glue on the teeth. Just begs the question, what did he mistake for a chamois cream? Let's just hope it didn't include any tea tree.
I mean, I patched one of them, but it just didn't hold.
Here's a beer for you. Well done.
Oh, thank you very much, man. Holy Lord. Holy Lord. All right.
Awesome. Great job, John. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
Our two race reporters, Sophie and Jake, have had the monumental task of covering the stories of 400 riders for nearly 3 weeks. They finally sat down together to compare notes on what it's like to cover the TCR.
So, Sophie, tell me what you've been doing this race.
I'm trying to survive. No, I'm kidding. So basically, we were taking pictures after, in the car, we had Matt, the photographer, and we were taking pictures of the riders. And me, I had to interview them, make sure that they will tell me
their darkest secrets.
Their darkest secrets, their funny stories, how it was to be on the road, just to share as many stories as possible to kind of embark people on their journey. Because I think it's important to share, I mean, to, especially at the back, I got really attached to the people at the back. The big difference I realized was that in the mid-pack, they will stop for a chat. They will literally stop for a chat for like a 4 or 5 minutes chat.
And I mean, in the leading pack, there was no chance, you know, people would be just, you know, single-minded in their focus, and they were making forward progress.
I think some like took that opportunity to just relax for a few minutes, and then maybe they were like in a bad mood before, like, or having a hard time, and it will be like just
a reset. And then how did you find separating the sort of human element from having to keep enough separation between you and the riders? Because it's a self-supported race, really, kind of, you know, obviously that's such an enormous part of the TCR. You've got to be really conscious not to give an unfair advantage to those riders that you meet.
So I made sure that I had the same amount of energy for everyone. Either it was 6 in the morning and midnight, I wanted to have like the same
the same energy to give them. But it was really hard to see some riders struggling, either because they were really tired or they were in pain and not being able to give them an advice. So I remember one day we passed the bus stop, one of the riders was there and she was crying. And I was going with my mic trying to interview her, and as soon as I saw she was crying, I said, like, I don't. It was hard because I wanted to act as a human and not as a race reporter. And actually I did. Yeah. Sorry, boss, but I did. And it was hard not being able to help and to, yeah, keep that race reporter cap. In some of the cases, I just said, you know what, I think the human side is more important than the story. And
yeah. The other difference I found in terms of the reporting versus the human side was, at the first control, I found it very difficult that riders had been going through the night. They were incredibly tired, completely exhausted, just climbed 11 really steep switchbacks to have their Brevet car validated. And it was the thing of having to step in at that moment to get the impressions of the leading riders. While, you know, in a human setting, you would absolutely see that these people are knackered, tired, don't want to speak, grumpy, you know. But you had to step in and, in the best way possible, you know, get them to open up a little bit so that people would understand what's going on. And, you know, and in a race like this, it is sort of part of what you sign up for, is sharing the stories from the road, because that's how you grow the sport. That's how you encourage more people to experience what you're experiencing, which, you know, arguably is an incredibly transformative and you know, an incredibly good experience for people to try out.
Like, the more at the back, I had many people telling me that they were so grateful to be here, that they didn't realize that, I mean, they didn't think they were capable. And yeah, it was so nice to witness that they could actually do it. So as the day we're moving forward, I would like interview the same riders, and I could really see that light inside them, like, that yes, I might actually do it. Like,
and so what made the difference? What were the characteristics that you saw in those, I'm going to call it, like, the good riders, in the riders who were riding a good race, in that sense? It doesn't matter about the position, but in terms of what they got out of it, the enjoyment they had as part of it.
I think it's people that were really steady, right, like racing or riding in a sustainable way. And I kind of could guess who was going to finish and who was not going to finish. You could see some people, like, really organized, not being bothered by, not complaining, staying really positive, not looking at the tracker too much, or just to see if there was friends around. And there were other riders, like, being really negative. The first thing they would told me is, like, I have the pain here, I have the pain there, and I might stop, instead of others just telling me, yeah, I'm in pain as well, but I'm going to rest a bit more. I'm going to take 1 more hour of sleep, and then I will see tomorrow.
It's what Marcus was saying, wasn't it, about Vipassana, about the moving meditation of the TCR, which was, it teaches you that the experience is transient. It's like, you know, it's not going to last forever. So people who realize that, yeah, now is tough, but doesn't last forever, seem to be the ones who can push on through. Mm. The three things for me were, like, I'm going to call them the three S's, actually. So it was, like, sleep was, like, a big thing. You know, when people were sleeping enough, then they had the capacity to process, you know, the difficulty of the race, and they just seemed a lot more comfortable, a lot more calm, a lot more composed. Strategy, so, like you said, riding to your own strategy, but also having a strategy and having a focus and not throwing that out the window. And then the third one was sense of humour. Sense of humour was key, like, people who could have a laugh and see the ridiculousness of it all amongst that, and, you know, a sense of humor as well in just kind of appreciating the world around you, whether it's kind of putting flowers in your cockpit or you know, just kind of I'm thinking of Chris Murray's snack rep and things like this, you know, being able to share the great stories of the road and just the kind of, you know, how ridiculous it all is at the same time, and the fact that it is only a bike race and it's not the end of the world, and whether you're, you know, 74th or 75th, or whether you're, you know, kind of 13th or 14th, actually just doesn't matter. It doesn't define you. It's not an identity. It doesn't make you any better or worse than you were at the beginning. But if you can maintain your sense of humor throughout, that seemed to be a way that people had a far better race and rode a good race.
Yeah, and not to put too much pressure, because you've got enough stress from the sport, so
yeah,
you don't need any more pressure.
So now you have to describe the TCR in one word. What's your one word synopsis of the TCR, Sophie?
I can't believe I was asking that. I don't have the answer.
Come on.
Imagine that you've been on the bike for 5,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
You've slept an average of 3 hours a night, and then you're at the finish line thinking, I just want a fucking beer. And then someone comes in and goes, now just
hey,
compress all of that into one word really quickly and make sure it's a good one. So you've got to give it to me. Okay, I'm going to count you in. 3, 2, 1. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
I think I'm going to say Fiona.
Fiona?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
She won TCR a few years ago, and this is how I kind of get into that world. And this is the reason why I've always wanted to do TCR, because she won it. And I was like, we can actually do it. Like, we can do it. Like, as a woman, I can do it as well.
Yeah.
Life had other plan for me. Like, I'm probably never going to be able to ride TCR, but I'm going to cry now. Shit. How are those people are answering my question without crying? But yeah, I think this is my story about that race. It's like, I got into cycling and I saw Fiona winning the TCR, and I actually bought the same bike. Yes, this was my first bike. I made sure that I had the same one as her. And yeah, I'm really grateful that I've been able to cover the race, because that way I was able to participate in a way. And yeah, I hope with the interview, as many people will dare to sign up.
That's a wonderful word.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
And you, if you had to describe TCR in one word, what would it be?
It would be eclectic. There's such an eclectic mix of people, of experiences. I wrote a piece earlier on in the race called Subjective Experience, Objective Reality. And it was sparked by Russ. There was a rider called Russ coming up the approach to the first parkour. And he just leant over to our car as we were coming down saying, Andrew, this is not nice. And then not 5 seconds later, we passed a Scottish rider who just went like, you know, this is fucking spectacular, eh? You know, it was like really just like full of life, like looking around him like this is the best experience ever. And they were on the same 100 meters of road, having, you know, within a minute of one another in terms of their race times at that point, and complete opposite ends of the experiential spectrum. So eclectic, you know, and it's amazing that the human mind experiences and processes information and experience like so differently, and creates such different emotional responses as a result. So that was cool to see. So that's my word, eclectic.
And now here's Sophie's recap of the day.
Another day at the TCR finish line. Riders keep running in, and others who finished days ago just come back to hang out, which means sometimes we can't tell if someone just arrived with a dead tracker or if they are just here for the vibe. But more than once, we ended up cheering for people who crossed the line days ago. But really, after nearly 5,000 kilometers, every round of applause is well deserved. So even if it's the second or third time, it's okay. It's such a pleasure now to be able to welcome the riders and help them out, ask if they know where they're going to sleep, offer them a drink, point them to where they can find food or clothes. It feels good to finally help, because during the race, the rules are clear. Everyone has to be treated the same way, and we couldn't give any assistance. And sometimes it was really hard. When Thomas, the photographer, handed Simon some French fries, I saw him hesitate as if he still thought it might be against the rules. Every day there is a steady flow of riders crossing the finish. Those who arrived at daylight are fresh, smiling, and those who arrived at night, sometimes they just don't understand when they are, I think. But today all I saw was smiles and tears, tears of joy after such an achievement, especially from those who never believed they could do it. But you could, and you did it. In the first day of the race in Control Car 2, we covered the meat pack, and it's those riders who are arriving now. And I've been watching their doubts the whole way just to make sure they were still moving. And it's such a joy to see them again. We all agree it felt like it's been weeks since we last met. But yeah, I'm so glad that they make it. But back to the race. There is 68 riders after CP5 now who have 24 hours to get a GC. But who will make it to the party? There is already 112 riders here, plus 4 sets of pair ready to hit the dance floor. And we have 34 riders still riding out of GC. Gossip Girl moment of the day. It's more like a MacGyver
thing of the day. So it goes to Jackson Cap 78, who managed to overcome a nasty side wall cut on his tire with a combo of electrical tape, superglue, chewing gum, and duct tape, and had to stop to pump the tire every 10 or 15 kilometers. But he made it to Constanta, where he actually got the root of TCR tattooed on his arm. The fashion award of the day goes to Julien and Simon, Cap 398, who after the race went to a second-hand shop and with the equivalent of 20 euros, dressed themselves from head to toe. Simon is now rocking the look of a history geography teacher at university, while Julien is a coach in Adidas neon shorts. His t-shirt says never again, but they have already planned their next race together. So even in adversity, some friendships are unbreakable. And those two guys are French, so they know everything about fashion. The bravery badge of the day goes to, and I hope he won't be mad about it, to John Pears, Cap 57. You probably know John as iGuy, or at least that is how the other riders called him on the finish line. It's the riders who put once chain lube into his eyeball thinking it was eye drops. In his defense, the eye drops bottle has the exact same shape as the chain oil bottle. But his adventure didn't stop here. After puncture with no spare tubes and no patches left, he somehow made it to a gas station where the only vaguely useful thing to fix his tire was a tube of superglue that had probably been sitting there for years. He couldn't get the cap open, so he decided to bite into the tube to squeeze the glue out and ended up gluing three of his teeth together. The glue is still there, so I wish his dentist good luck, who frankly might also deserve the bravery badge. Tomorrow is the finisher party. We're going to do a blind test, which is like you set in teams and then you have to guess what is the song. It's a really funny game. And we're going to give also some awards for all the riders out there. So hurry up. We are waiting for you. The cocktails are good. There is alcohol-free beer as well. So good night and good ride, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Lost Dot podcast. You can stay up to date with the race on our blog and social channels, where the Lost Dot team are reporting on stories for our riders throughout the day. Thanks to our race partners, Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. To all of our riders out there, stay safe and keep on zooming to the finish. We can't wait to celebrate with you.